Reese Witherspoon was in the room, and Lucy had done her media. She'd done her big, big dissertation on feminism and Legally Blonde. And so she went up and actually gave her the dissertation to Reese Witherspoon and said, I did a dissertation on your work on Legally Blonde, and I think you're amazing. And so Reese Witherspoon, who's just obviously a consummate professional and super polite and wonderful and all the rest, goes, oh, thank you so much. Smells it and goes, is this scented? And Lucy goes, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
You can check that online. It went viral and then everyone retweeted it. It was this whole thing.
Hello, thanks for listening. In our studio today, we have Ali.
Hi.
And Ali.
Hello.
And Kobe.
Hello.
And we are reviewing Legally Blonde. Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. In our studio today, we have Ali and Ali. This isn't going to be confusing at all, we can assure you. If you would like to say hello and tell the listeners a little bit more about what you do and your interests.
Hello, I'm Ali Wybrew, and I'm a huge film fan. I used to work for Empire Magazine, where I met this Ali. And yeah, now I make creative content for various film companies.
Nice.
My name's Ali Plum. I used to work at Empire Magazine, where I met this Ali. And I now work at BBC Radio 1 as their in-house film person.
But you do a few podcasts as well.
Yeah, I have my own podcast, BBC Radio 1 Screen Time, but that's about it, really. I mean, I wish I was on more. If you'd like to get me on your podcast, please do contact me on Twitter.
Well, you guys used to... Were you on Empire Film Podcast?
I was sadly not invited on there, but it was a very... Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, I used to edit and produce that. Yeah, sorry, I forgot. I did the old Empire podcast. Long time ago, when the world was young.
But I mean, it's still one of my favourite podcasts, and a shame you guys aren't still a part of it. But I remember going to the first, well, there's a 100th episode at the Prince Charles Cinema, where Ice Cube turned up.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah?
I was on stage. Good times. He posed for a lot of photographs after that. Very bizarre day, right. In a great way.
So we're talking today about Legally Blonde, which is your choice, Ali.
It is,
Ms. Wybrew.
Yeah.
And... can you tell us why you chose it and give us a one-minute synopsis?
Well, I'll give you the synopsis first.
Sure.
It's the lovely Reese Witherspoon plays Elle Woods, who is ostensibly a young lady who has it all. She's the president of her sorority. She's got a lovely little chihuahua called Bruiser. And she's got the dream man in the form of Warner, played by Matthew Davis. And the only thing she really wants is to get married. And she thinks that's going to happen. He's going to pop the question at dinner. And lo and behold, he actually breaks up with her. And from that moment on, she wants to prove to him that she is good enough for him. So she follows him to Harvard Law School to prove that she's got the brains, not just the beauty.
Nice. Why did you choose it?
I picked this film because... when it came out, it was so not my sort of film.
Right.
I think I was 16 at the time, and I thought I wanted to avoid anything pink and girly, and that wasn't me at all. And I did actually see it when I was in my 20s, and it really surprised me. I thought it was so great. But I haven't seen it since then, so I was keen to revisit it and see, you know, how it held up now.
So what was your sort of film as a 16-year-old?
I was trying to be very cool. I had two older brothers, so I was all about gangster films, Martin Scorsese,
right.
Godfather, Japanese horror, Requiem for a Dream, stuff that was not about...
no pink in any of those films.
No pink, no, not at all.
Not even pink carnation. Ali, what are your thoughts? Sorry. Let's go to Helen, actually, first. I know I get to Helen first. Helen, what are your thoughts on Legally Blonde?
Me. So I had a friend who was really, really into... this film I can't remember when. So I'd seen it quite a few times, probably not long after it came out, but I haven't seen it in years. Wow, there is a lot of pink in there. A lot of pink. There's a few things that I'd obviously kind of glossed over, which we'll talk about in depth probably, but it's very sweet. Reese Witherspoon is very bubbly, and it's got a lot of warmth in it, and it's basically believing yourself is kind of key message. It's aged okay-ish a little bit, and yeah, it just really kind of showcases what a performer she is, and it's hard not to kind of enjoy some of the silliness about this film.
Yeah,
I think when I first watched it, I didn't come to it in any way other than I'd been told it was actually really good. And I know this sounds unbelievable, but I remember not thinking it was a girly film or like a film for girls or anything like that. I remember just thinking, someone saying, actually, it's really good, you should just watch it. Mm. And I think I watched it at school. Like, we used to like watch movies sometimes. I don't know when it was, but we watched it, you know, I was about 14 or something. And Reese Witherspoon, let's just say it flat out, aces this. The tone, the line you have to walk in this character.
Mm.
Because what we found watching it together, didn't we, is how amazing it is in terms of not female empowerment alone, but how they're actually, the jokes aren't about necessarily how stupid they are. It's not done in a mean way. It's done that they're very cutesy, but they're all behind each other. And everyone, the sorority, is actually really positive, and they're just getting along and trying to work with each other and support each other. There's no cat fighting or any of that kind of cliched nonsense that you so often see in sorority style movies. It's just positivity. And if you work hard enough, you'll get it. Yes, there's chihuahuas and pink and whatever, but I just remember thinking, this is funny. And I think, honestly, she has to do such a lot of work to make that humour roll. I think she's amazing in it.
I think with this, I had nothing against this film when it first came out. I liked You're Clueless. I liked high school films. So for me, this was just a university set film. I was just like, well, let's watch it. I wasn't expecting anything from it. And on the second time rewatching, I was like, oh, it takes a while to get to the point where it gets a bit more like meaty, because I think it takes a while. There's a lot of time spent with her and the Valley Girls, where I think a lot of people could be turned off by the film because they're not into the joke yet. They're not all the joke or the main kind of gist of the plot. So I think, I'm sure a lot of people maybe turned off after this first kind of 20, half an hour of the film. But it does reward perseverance, I think. And I think Reese Witherspoon is great. I think she's fantastic in more recent things like Big Little Lies. I think she's absolutely outstanding in that. And what she's doing now with the films that she's involved in has definitely come from the work that she's done here. And I think a lot of people would have written her off as just being a kind of bubbly kind of actor. But I think what you're saying, Ali, is like walking that tightrope, that fine line of that kind of acting, the performance she's doing isn't that easy. It's not, it's not just a bubbly performance. It's like emotion and showing that she has got that kind of tenacity, which doesn't really shine in a lot of these films that come through. So I think she's fantastic in it.
Elle Woods is an amazing character. Can I just, before we go on any further, just remind everyone that the joke title, the film's title, is a pun on the phrase and the term legally blind. When you think about that, it's bananas. Like, they went, what should we call this film? What's about this very seemingly ditzy, but actually very clever, hardworking, intelligent person that gets on with people like a house on fire. She's blonde, law, legally blonde. Yep, we'll have dinner now. Nailed it.
Is it as good as the Martha in Batman vs. Superman, where they kind of put the pens down and walked away?
Yeah, that's it. Well, work here is done.
I think the strand that I still kind of found hard to take was the, I need to be married to be happy. I know that turns around, but that's more towards the end, isn't it? But I still find that being, in this day and age, is that what you meant by, Helen, where you said it's perhaps a bit...
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten that the whole reason she goes to law school is so that she can become the person that her ex-boyfriend supposedly wants,
yeah,
and not because she wants to go to law school because she's intelligent. So I kind of forgot. So it is a little bit sort of sad in that way, but she kind of realizes that he's a douchebag and she's better off without him quite soonish after she arrives. So, yeah, you can kind of let that one slide a little bit for its time. And if you compare it to other romantic comedies at that time, they were much worse.
I remember watching the first time where you had the kind of the Me Too incident, where I'm sure I probably just glossed over it without even thinking about it, where that's the professor comes onto her. And but this time watching is like, oh fuck, it's those kind of things where you now, where these things are more apparent, you do understand what it's just been latent in a lot of our media and a lot of workplaces. And we saw Breakfast Club was brought onto the podcast, and someone talked about the Me Too incident in that, where
Molly Ringwald.
He looks at Molly Ringwald's skirt and bites her inside thigh, or you're not sure what happens. Again, the first time watching it, or the first few times watching, you don't realise what's going on there. But in modern times, recent times, you're like, dude, that is so far beyond the pale. It's ridiculous. So I think it does really encourage rewatching it and readjusting, reevaluating some of the things you see on the screens.
Can I just double check when this film came out?
2001.
It's funny how things have changed.
Mm. Well, I mean, what do you guys think when you saw that in the most recent rewatch with that the professor coming onto her? Did that shock you, or did it make you think, oh, it's par for the course?
It's par for the course. I think, like, we've seen it, like you say, it's been in lots of films, and this was like in 2001. I think, I'm not surprised. It's sad, but I'm not surprised that it was there.
One of the biggest plot points in American Psycho, when we rewatched that, wasn't one of the things that got me the most wasn't the fact there's blood going everywhere. It was him being abusive towards Chloe Sevigny, his secretary, and like saying, you need to wear better clothes to make your body pop, or things like that. They were the things that made me like take a second look at the film. Obviously, that's part of the character, but I don't remember those. I think it was me reevaluating myself when I first watched those, thinking, oh, that's fine, that's what happens. But now. Yeah.
I think the thing that I was a little bit disappointed about the most about this is the bend and snap movement, which could easily have not been in it, because it kind of does so well to go, this is someone who's studied really hard and, they've struggled to make friends, but they're really trying. And then it goes all the way down to, oh, well, if you want to get a guy, then you do this. And then there's that weird kind of dance thing. And it's a bit like, bit strange, kind of not really remembered that one, so I'm not sure about that moment in it.
I think the bend and snap was the thing I remembered the most.
I think I definitely agree with you, but I think I really like this film, and I'm trying to find a way of giving it a pass in saying that she was trying to empower women without confidence, was a way to do it. So I do agree with you that when that came around, I was like, oh, this is a shame. However, yeah, for the other characters, I suppose it's not without a positive. But I thought, this is obviously talked about in relation to Clueless quite a lot, which is another film I'm a huge fan of. And the idea of subverting the ditzy blonde concept. And I think Warner says, I need a Jackie, not a Marilyn, and I just thought it's great in that's part of it. And it's like it was like a modern... a modern film that plays with that idea of that stereotype, and not just being blonde, but being a woman as well, and being dismissed for your appearance.
What you look like,
yeah.
I would say about the bend and snap thing, and it isn't my position to make that point, really, but she can do what she wants. is that a weird thing to say? Mm-hmm. I remember just thinking, yeah, maybe for now it's a bit off, but I was like, good for you. And like Ali says, she just did it entirely with a massive heart, just going, you're not very confident, this is my little cheeky trick to make you feel confident. And she reminds me of characters like Mr. Smith from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Forrest Gump. She's just got this gigantic heart and just wants everyone to be happy. She's a colossal people pleaser, but all she wants, despite all of her money and privilege and everything else, the nice clothes and dresses, despite all of the appearances of her being a rich, entitled nightmare, is just a good person. And I love those cinematic cliches of the pure heart of gold person because they're just amazing. You're just fascinated by her disarming everyone. They all have these impressions of her. Selma Blair, you name it, they go, I know what you are, I'm putting you in that box. And she's like, well, I don't care. Well, she does, but she's too pure for it to really affect her.
Because every single shot, outside of the sorority, every single shot, she is almost like an outcast, isn't she? She's there in the first day of law school. She's wearing pink. She's got the little kind of ribbon and stuff like that on the back of a pen with a big smile. And everyone's like, who's this? Or every single step of the way, she's undermined, or people don't rate her from the start. And she just, with a big, pure heart, she overwhelms people, even like Selma Blair, who was her main kind of nemesis, I guess, during the film, because she's the one that's taken Warner's heart.
Yeah. I think that's such kudos to Reese Witherspoon, though, that she really sells that and she really makes you care about her. And I also like that she sits there with all her pink and her fluffy pen. You know, I watch that and I love that because I keep thinking, oh, if that was me, I'd be conforming, I'd be trying to fit in. And there's something so liberating about watching her going, nope, this is how I am and I don't have to do that, and really succeeding in it.
There's a great bit where she gives him the CV and he goes, it's pink. And she goes, it's scented too.
She goes, I think she says, that gives it a little something extra, don't you think?
And it's just, and then they both smell it. And
she just thinks,
smell.
She thinks of stuff.
Yeah.
She's prepared. She's diligent. Yeah. I think, okay, imagine a world where Legally Blonde, she wasn't like this ditzy kind of like thing, like in appearances. She was a goth. And like Ali's saying, I'm going to wear this makeup. My nails are going to look like this. Mm. This is me. And I love that about her. This is me.
Yeah.
I think also, just in lines like you mentioned there, I think actually the script for this film is really tight. I think I take your point to what you're saying about it taking a little while to get through the Valley Girls. But for me, that Valley Girl setup was quite important. And like Ali touched on, I remember watching it now, taking real joy in how supportive they were of each other. Because I think there's been so many films that are about like the bitching and the backstabbing. And I was watching this going, oh, they're all just getting on and having a really lovely time. So, I just think the script is really tight and I think she delivers all those lines brilliantly. There's one I enjoyed that she said to, is it Stifler's mum?
She's amazing cool too.
Yeah, and she says, I taught Bruiser to shop online. I think I can handle Congress. And just whips them out and walks off and I love it.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the cast, because we've got Jennifer Coolidge, Selma Blair,
Luke Wilson,
Annie Lata.
I do have a big thing for one of the actors in this film.
You do?
Selma Blair.
No. I forget his name.
Matthew Davis.
Oh, he's so gorgeous.
Who's Matthew Davis?
He's Warner.
Such a hunk of man.
He's Warner, and he's Alaric in The Vampire Diaries, which is one of my favourite TV shows.
Never seen an episode.
And I managed to get Ali hooked on it, but I don't actually think it was me. I think you just saw Alaric and was like, hello.
Dreamboat.
Yeah. So that was actually quite funny, going back and watching this and see him being young and a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
So that was quite fun. Yeah.
So what are these guys up to? Ali Lata, I've not seen since Heroes.
No, which is a shame because I like her.
Selma Blair has been putting out about 3 or 4 films a year since this. And I don't actually, I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think any of them have actually been like that successful. She's obviously done Hellboy, which is probably one of the more recognisable titles. But other than that, I mean, I was looking down her list going, I haven't seen any of these.
Well, the only one I can think of is Cruel Intentions, which was another...
Was it before this?
Yeah, it was 3 years before this.
Wow. And Luke Wilson, both the Wilsons have disappeared.
Luke Wilson is currently in Zombieland 2.
Is trying to sell you sofas.
Yes, he is, lying on a sofa, telling you sofas are good. Is it DFS?
Instagram? No, it's. I think it's... Is it not sofa.com or Sofa World or
one
something?
One of them,
I haven't seen it. I think the most notable thing he did for me since this was to appear in That 70s Show, which is also one of the favorite
TV shows.
Oh, yeah,
that's true.
He was Kelso's older brother.
That's so right.
Played by...
Ashton Kutcher. Okay.
Yeah, so
that's the only person I know from That 70s Show. So it has to be.
Grace? Mila Kunis?
Oh, is Mila Kunis
just
in it?
Just a couple of small names there.
See, how's That 70s Show produce people, but Legally Blonde hasn't, apart from Reese Witherspoon?
These things happen. Can we just go back to the scented
paper?
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who's on the junket circuit is somebody called Lucy, and she won't mind me telling you this, but we were both on for about 4 minutes. You know what these things are like? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But, you know, Notting Hill, where there's like that junket setup where you go to a hotel and you have like a very small period of time to ask the star some questions about the movie. Anyway, so it was for that film that everyone forgets the name of that starred Oprah, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, the Fantasy Fairy one.
Exactly. And anyway, the important part of this story...
The Verney one.
Yes, that's right. Okay. The most important part of this story is, forget about the movie, is that Reese Witherspoon was in the room, and Lucy had done her media, she'd done her big, big dissertation on feminism and Legally Blonde. And so she went up and actually gave her the dissertation to Reese Witherspoon and said, I know I shouldn't do this, words that affect, but here it is, right? Maybe she didn't even say that. I think she just went, I did a dissertation on your work on Legally Blonde, and I think you're amazing. And so Reese Witherspoon, who's just obviously a consummate professional and super polite and wonderful and all the rest, goes, oh, thank you so much, smells it and goes, is this scented? And Lucy goes, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
You can check that online. It went viral and then everyone retweeted it. It was this whole thing.
Well, with that, let's go to the scores.
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5 and you may have decimal places if you wish. And we will start with you, Ali, with the recommendability, please.
I am going to give it 4.8.
Boom.
I don't want to go all the way to 5 because there are people I would not recommend this film to.
Who are these people? Why would, what caveat?
Do I have to say?
They don't like pink. Pinkophobes.
I just think I've made a couple of mistakes recently. You'll know who I mean. Recommending films I'm sure people would like, and they've just backfired. So I'm just being slightly cautious as to not say everybody.
What were they sort of out of interest? Just curious.
What sorts of films? They were comedies.
They're the tough ones, comedies.
Yeah, and I've decided actually I don't know everyone's sense of humour, even if we like laugh together in real life. What people like laugh at.
Comedy's very tricky to get right with people.
But this to me is one.
I also think there's such a novelty to this. Like, year 2000, 2001, this is such a blast from the past now that I think, go on, you're doing the ironing, you're doing whatever, folding some shirts, whatever it is. I describe this like Hugh Grant's movies are really good housework films, and there's something about this one where I'd be happily dusting the top of a shelf.
Well, that's going to pay into the engagement score, I think, there. What's your recommendability score?
I think I'm with Ali. I'm going to give it 4.78. I just think this is a really fun film that actually asks you quite a lot of questions, and I don't want to overanalyze it too late, but I just think it's really sweet and big-hearted, and I think it says more, like Elwood's, than you might think.
Helen?
I'm going to give this a solid 4. I mean, it zips along really nicely. Reese Witherspoon is really fun in it, and it does just really hammer that believe in yourself, and you know, if you stick to your guns and stay with what you think is right, then you know that's going to reward you. A couple of things didn't sort of, it's a little bit all gays, no designer shoes, and
problematic.
Yeah, there's some bits like that which some people would not forgive it for its time, and then there'll just be people who will just be like, oh, I'm just not going to watch a film with a woman who carries a chihuahua around in her handbag.
But that, to me, is the point. That's what I like, is that people go, I'm not going to watch it. It's got a girl with a chihuahua on her bag, and I go, well, then, there you go.
It's not for you.
4 stars.
I'm going to join you, Helen, on a 4. I think it's... The satire is... will not reach people in the first kind of 25 minutes, I think, and that's why I have to explain. Just say, keep going, because then it'll become like a sledgehammer and hit you over the head.
I agree. Some people won't get it. When we started playing on it, press play on it, we both immediately went, oh yeah, look how quickly it's taking the mick out of what you're thinking.
No, I was just suddenly thinking of Clueless, and I was thinking how much faster actually Clueless gets to it, and therefore I do sort of take your point a bit, actually.
Well, Clueless does have the advantage of being based on, you know, one of Austin's finest books. So there's an element
of... material is a bit
it's
different.
It's a really tight structure that you're just following like a kind of Shakespeare play. Whereas this is kind of doing its own thing.
Mm.
But I do agree, obviously. You're absolutely right.
Repeat viewing score. How many times have we seen this?
This was only my second, actually.
Second.
I would watch it again multiple times in my lifetime. I think it's an easy watch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for 4.
The other film I was trying to think of was Romy Michelle's High School Reunion film. I've only watched it once because I think that was one of the films I wrote off thinking, Lisa Kudrow, she's probably not.
It reminds me of The Comeback. Yeah. I don't think that's for me.
But it was really, really cool. Really, really cool film. And I think if you like Legally Blonde, I definitely recommend going and seeing Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. I think there's a lot of big heartedness in that as well. So you've seen it twice?
Yes, and I would see again. So
multiple times.
Going to give it a 4.
Ali?
I'm going to give it a 4 as well, if you don't mind me copying you. I just think this is so easily watchable. And yeah, I just think it's really good fun. Yeah, I think it's an easy 4.
Alan?
I don't quite know how many times. I've definitely seen it more than 3, probably. But not for a very, very long time. It is pretty easy to watch. It's an hour and 36 minutes. But watching this, I was also reminded of how good Election is.
Oh, yeah.
Which came before this.
Very different tone.
Mm. Yeah.
Alexander Payne.
Yes. Yeah. So I think I would rather go back to that than watch this again. So I'm going to give it 2.5.
This is film for me is a bit like eating a big bag of Haribo. It's like, go on.
Keep going.
I know, this is great. Let's have a go. I'll have some of that.
So this is like when you're thinking, and you're not sure what to watch, Netflix puts it in front of your face and you kind of go,
let's
have
it.
You know what? Yeah.
And then it suggests Legally Blonde too.
So
Red, White and Blonde.
That's it, yeah.
Has anyone seen any of the sequels?
I have seen the second one.
I've not seen.
You have seen the second one?
I have, yeah.
What? How does that... Because already we've kind of dismissed the second one.
I've just not watched it, so yeah. I'm dismissing it because I have no comments to make.
I think I even saw that at the cinema. She goes to Reese? Washington, doesn't she? She goes somewhere to it, I don't know why. And Luke Wilson is still in it, I think. But I think he's only in it a small part.
Is Reese Witherspoon still the main?
Yeah, she's still the main one. There's making a third one, apparently. It's coming out next year.
Oh, I thought there already was a third one.
No, they've not made it yet.
But I think there is, but according to Wikipedia, it's
that will be
out.
A very tricky needle to thread right now.
There'll be a musical. There's a musical out as well. Has anyone seen the musical?
No.
Why would it be a tricky needle to thread?
Well, we're looking at this character through 2019 glasses. Mm. I think we're enjoying it in part because the year 2000/2001 was both yesterday and a long time ago. Sure. So it's like watching something from the 70s, if you'll follow my logic here, where you go, well, that was that time.
Mm.
So I'm enjoying this in a kind of kitschy way, as well as her being kitsch in herself. To have that character now, what is that character now? Like, who is she?
Mm.
But she is just... She is just her, though, and that's the joy of it, isn't it? She could be that now.
Will she still be like, I need a man to make me in that? I mean, obviously they're solved by that by the end of this film, but will there still be some kind of not acceptable points of view from her relatively traditional upbringing? Because she is quite conservative with a small c. Like, she's, at least to begin with, quite homely. And is that where they'll want the character to remain? I'd like to see how she's evolved, is what I'm saying. Because I think she's a tricky one for now. Girly girls, if you don't mind the phrase, aren't seen. Not in cinema. When has there ever been anyone quite like Elle Woods?
On screen.
In the past 2-3 years.
Because it has changed a lot into, like, say, the Big Little Lies kind of storyline. And
you have real characters that feel real. Elle does not feel real. She feels like godlike. She's angelic.
Let's have a think about that. Repeat viewing score for me. I'm not going to see this that much. I think I want to see Clueless again.
Yes.
No, I haven't seen Clueless for a long time.
We saw that quite recently, didn't we?
We saw that back to back with Heathers.
Was it a PCC pyjama party?
And Mean Girls. Yeah, that was great. That was good.
See, that's a great triple bill.
Clueless has aged
Prince
so
Charles.
Well.
Love you guys.
Everything Absolutely. About it doesn't feel. It could have been made like a year ago, but set in the 90s. Mm. It's so good.
That is a similar thing of, well, 90s. You know what I mean?
But flannel's coming back. Lots of people wearing flannel.
Wearing a great shirt.
I'm going to give it a 2. Small screen score. Ali.
So I was going to go with something quite high, and I think I still am, but... it's so bright and fun. I do think there is something to watching it on the big screen. But I feel like that's all really that there is. So I think it is still perfect for a small screen watch. So I will give it a 4.
Mm.
But you will enjoy it more on the big screen.
Ali?
I'll give it 4.5, I think.
Helen?
I think seeing this in a big screen for me would be a bit too much, and I was really surprised that the soundtrack is really, really awful, which I think just is a product of its time for that music.
The Clueless soundtrack was like de facto cool. like legendary status soundtrack, wasn't it?
Yeah, whereas this just, I don't think, benefits from the time that it came out for what pop music was doing.
What songs are on it? Can anyone remember any songs from this?
Very loud and horrible ones. Mm. I did not enjoy the songs in it. I thought it could have had a better song. It's just me. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 5. I think it works fine on the small screen.
I'm going to go with a 4, actually, with Ali. I think if it was a Prince Charles triple bill,
yes,
started with Clueless, had this in the middle and finished off with Romy, Michelle or Heathers, I'd be happily watching it all the way through. And I think the way the Prince Charles works, I think there'd be so many people who love so many bits of it that I didn't really get, and that would help me to get involved in it. I don't think if it was a reissue in the standard cinema, I don't think it'd be as interesting, but I think at the Prince Charles where people would probably get into it, I think it'd be quite fun to watch. So I'm going to give a slightly lower small screen score, although I don't think there's anything cinematic that draws you into it. But I think just the fun shared experience would be good at the PCC. So I'm going to give it a 4. Engagement score, Ali.
I try very hard to not do anything else when I watch films, whatever films they are. So I'm always trying to be as engaged as possible. But I have to say, I think if you are the sort of person that likes to multitask, mm-hmm. you could do with this film and not necessarily miss loads. So I'm going to give it 3.7.
You could make a couple of cups of tea in this movie.
Mm.
You definitely could.
Yeah, for sure.
Ali?
I'll give it 3.
Yeah?
But I think that's not to its... Detriment. That's not trying to disrespect it.
No.
No, it's fine. I could definitely put some stuff away on the shelves as this was going on in the background.
Yeah, so the same, a 3. This isn't a film that relies you to remember the key plot points. I mean, you can kind of guess where it's going, which, again, isn't... That's not a bad thing about it. It's that it does zip along and you can kind of, like, just kind of, like, you know... sit there and not have to think. So if you were hungover, then this film would be fine. You could just like get your Haribo. Yeah. And
I get Haribo. That's what this is. I'll have a heart, then sofa. I'll have a fried egg.
And then that ring thing, put it in your finger, then like chew on it.
Yeah.
Ideal.
That kind of thing where you can just, your brain doesn't have to think too much.
You're so right. This is a hangover movie. Yeah. So right.
But that's a good thing, but it doesn't require 100%. I can also say I really enjoyed seeing the iBook on screen.
Yes.
Or the clamshell kind of casing, yeah.
I'm going to go for 3 as well, I think. The when me and my wife are watching films or TV shows, there's kind of the TV shows where if I get up and do something, we've got like an open plan kitchen. If I get up and do something, like put a kettle on, if I'm really into it, it's like, can you just pause it? But this is like a non-pauser. It's just like, keep it going. Keep it going. Just go into the bedroom to pick something up. No, keep it going. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
That's a good barometer.
Yeah.
This reminds me a bit of when we watched My Best Friend's Wedding. I could pop to the loo.
Yeah, but I was pausing it because you hadn't seen it and I couldn't believe you were just walking out the room. he does
missing the great moments.
Yeah.
But you're evidently quite happy with just like, I know it's going to be fine. Whatever happens, I'll be fine.
But that's your attitude where I tell him to pause. Right. And when I leave, pause it, I don't know what I'm going to miss.
But you're pausing Project Runway. You're pausing all sorts.
I pause everything because you don't know what you're going to miss.
You're right. You are right.
You're very cavalier with your watching.
With these kind of like 90s, early noughties kind of relatively disposable fun things, I am a little bit flippant for sure.
We should do My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah, we should.
Well, I'm
here. Have you got the guys done that before?
We haven't.
Is it on Netflix?
It was.
It was. Well,
it has some very interesting, I mean, 2019 glasses again.
Definitely.
I've never seen that, actually.
I haven't either.
Neither that nor Big Fat Greek Wedding. I've seen Wedding Singer.
Why don't you suggest that to your next people on?
Well, get you to suggest people.
And
then make them, force them to take that.
Part of the deal.
Yeah. Excellent. We have an overall score of 3.76750, which is pretty decent. I think it's the repeat viewing score that took it down a couple of notches, maybe from me, I reckon. But that's a decent film, isn't it?
Yeah, I think over 3.5 is pretty strong, so yeah.
As always, guys, we go out to the people on Twitter. We're reviewing Legally Blonde with Ali YB and Ali Plum. Have you seen it? Give us your thoughts for an on-air shout-out on Flixwatcher and give us a 5-star review, a review out of 5 stars. And we had a fairly hefty response for this one.
Yeah. This film has been seen. This is a beloved movie.
People love it. Ali, can you take us lead off for the first one?
Yeah, so Death by Film Pod gives it 4 stars and says, unironically entertaining and a solidly unique rom-com.
Would you put rom-com in there?
There is some romance.
Yeah, but I don't think I would class it as a rom-com. I don't think of it as one. I just think of it as a comedy.
I think that was like an incidental bit with her getting together with Luke.
It starts off like that because that's her whole goal. And then it's almost as if they're like, oh shit, we forgot that this meant to be a love interest. Mm. Well, just Luke Wilson, it'll be fine.
It reminds me a tiny bit of that 500 Days of Summer, like Fatal Flaw, where the whole premise is you don't need a guy to define you or any other human being to make you happy. And that's the end of the sentence. Mm. Then it ends with, oh, this is a girl called Autumn.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit of that here where you go, I really would have liked you to have just been you.
Yeah.
But then, you know what? He's an awesome guy, and if he makes you happy, then great.
Yeah, and is it bad of me to say that actually I just liked her and I wanted her to be happy?
Exactly.
And he was great, and it's like, it doesn't have to be an anti-feminist thing.
No, just you're you, yeah.
She likes the guy.
Also Luke Wilson,
and nice
and I think that's why I don't feel it's a rom thing, because you set up, you had the first chat in the, I don't know, quadrangle, whatever it is, and they meet, and there's a bit like, oh, I quite fancy you from Luke's side. She doesn't really recognise him. Mm. And then at the end of the film, he's just been someone that she can kind of depend on and be like,
He listens to her, yeah. And he tells her to believe in what she says, and he potentially could make a bad career move by deciding to like step up and support her, because obviously she's not a qualified lawyer. So he does support her in that way before they have like the romance. So that's kind of interesting as well, that bit.
Because she gets dismissed by the dad and alias, Jennifer Garner's dad and alias, I can't remember his name.
Callahan or something.
You know, when she comes into the courtroom and says, oh, he's gay, about the witness, she just gets dismissed by the older guy. And it's Luke Wilson that listens and goes, oh, I'll
keep
figure
going
it out.
Yeah, I've got faith in you that you'll...
Yeah. Like you said before, that, well, a gay guy wouldn't know their shoes is a gay. Yeah, I mean, that is a problem, but it's just one of those films. I don't think you could put this in a box. It's just a legally wrong movie.
It's got too much heart in it. Yeah. If it didn't have that heart, and if it didn't start off so bubbly and optimistic, then it'd be easier to pick apart. But it's, you know, those things, unfortunately, were kind of jokes then. Not so much now, but the believe in yourself and the you know, your friends and having that conviction is still its message.
The second one, Ali.
What Were They Thinking? Podcast says 3.5 stars. It's a lot of fun. Reese is super charming and the ending doesn't age super well. We have kind of discussed that as well. It's breezy. It's a breezy fun time though.
3.5 stars.
Breezy is a good word.
Helen.
Tasteless Podcast. 5 stars. Obviously, Reese is perfect, but the rest of the cast is so ace. Ali Larter, Linda Cardellini, Selma Blair, Jennifer Coolidge, Holland Taylor, Jessica Coffey, I don't know who she was in it, and Alana Orbach, all incredible. Did they give any stars? Did they
come back? 5 stars.
All of them.
No mention of Alaric.
No, 5 stars was the first
five
thing.
5 stars. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Underrated.
Who is Linda Cardellini in it? She's
someone... Chutney.
Yes, what a great name for a character.
With an amazing perm.
Yes, and undone by her lack of hair knowledge. Mm. I wrote that.
Is it Linda Cardellini who's utterly fantastic in that Netflix drama, Dead to Me?
Yes.
And also in ER.
Is she in ER as well?
She was,
Hawkeye's wife?
She is, yeah.
Oh yeah, she said the rules of hair care are finite. Any Cosmo girl would know that. So I thought that was great.
I noticed Luke Wilson's not on that list. I feel he's just can't be asked anymore.
Is it because Luke Wilson is always Luke Wilson?
I don't know. I get the feeling that some people just kind of go, I don't really want to
I don't know,
do anymore.
I think when Wes Anderson stopped hiring him, he didn't really...
Weren't they buds, though? Weren't they just doing stuff together anyway?
Well, him and Owen Wilson were the... They wrote...
The triple.
Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket and Tenenbaums and...
Who wrote Rushmore?
They wrote that, yeah. But anyway, they worked a lot more closely, and then bringing in my little brother kind of thing, and I don't know. I watched a lot of films they were in together when they made films together.
And Alan, do you want to say the last one?
Cutaways Podcast says, it's great, and gives it all of the stars with a really lovely Charlize Theron gif. She's one of my faves, so.
She could be in Legally Blonde 3. She's actually playing one of those high-powered type besuited characters.
In the gif?
In the gif, which is from Longshot. Which I thought was a surprisingly great film.
Yeah, also she's in Bombshell coming out early next year.
Unrecognisable in the trailer.
I know, amazing.
I don't I don't know.
But not this film. She's not in this, in case you were confused.
No. Guys, thank you so much for picking Legally Blonde. Can you sign off by telling everyone where they can find you online?
Yes, so I'm Ali Wybrew. You can follow me at Ali Wybe on Twitter or at Ali Wybrew on Instagram.
My name's Ali Plum again. I'm at Ali Plum on Instagram and Twitter. I have a podcast called Ready One Screen Time, probably mentioned it already. And yeah, I'm also somewhere on YouTube as well, if you want to give my name a Google to see interviews of me, or rather me interviewing other people. It's been a long day. I'm so sorry.
It's all fine.
I'm talking garbage.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank Pleasure. You. Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the mighty people for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.